Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi Cassetta live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome my new friends and say Habari Gani to my old friends. And once again, you're in the School of African Culture. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We've been covering the gamut of all the schools of thought, the schools of clairvoyant, the school of psychic thinking. Now we're talking about African culture. Yesterday we talked about the school of introducing bilingual and bicultural into the classroom, and we talked to the teachers, and we're going to continue to talk to the teachers. And little G, why don't you keep that dial right there at 646-478-0270. Keep it right there, little G. Keep it right there and lock it in. Yes, we're talking about, should teachers go back to school to learn more about current events, to introduce culture to the classroom, to the African-American classroom? Should they be up to date on the current events and understand exactly what African-American children should know? And should our curriculums be heavily laden with cultural enrichment programs? And we're going to be talking about that in just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Why don't you stay tuned, and we'll meet you in the atmosphere if you just follow us and follow the leader. Thanks so much for following me. I certainly appreciate it. All right, and we're back, and we're going to go ahead and offer up a dedication to our ancestors. Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to do this oftentimes, do the ritual to acknowledge your higher self and your ancestors. Right now, I'd like to acknowledge my higher self, Oladulamare, who is the African god of this race. And if you don't know the names of the African gods, you ought to know. And we do have a black prophet. His name is Oladulamare. His name is Olorun, and he was at the right-hand side of God at the inception of us. He molded us and sculpted us, but God gave us his essence. So we're going to lift up Oladulamare, and we're going to pour libations, and we say Ashe. We're going to also acknowledge our mother spirit by pouring libations and saying Ashe. Ashe. I want to pour libations to my father's spirit Obatala, and I say Ashe. I pour libation to the east, and I say Ashe. I pour libation to the west, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the north, Ashe. I pour libations to the south, Ashe. As we call on Oye and we ask Oye to carry the winds to all four corners of the diaspora, we call on our ancestors, and I like to call on my personal ancestors, Ruby Lee Bracken. I like to call on Mary Lou Hawkins, Sam Lilly, George Lilly, Initial Lilly, Ruby Lilly, Effie Lilly. I like to call on the name of Tommy Harvey, Michelle Harvey. I like to call on Eugene Lilly, Sam Lilly, Marvin Lilly. I like to call on all the forces to be, and if you're lost in a lagoon, I'd like to assist you and aid you in helping you to make your way back to the family, to the greater circle. And thank you for allowing us to stand on your shoulders, because you are the sum total of why we came. We lift you high today. We acknowledge you and ask you to come in. You're certainly welcome here. And ladies and gentlemen, we say amen, and let the words of my mouth today and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. On thee do I wait, and on thee do I beseech for help. Guide us on a straight path, on the path of the righteous ones, not on those who have gone astray. And we thank you, Father. And we acknowledge our higher self, ladies and gentlemen, because it's important that we take time out to do rituals. And that's what African religion and African culture is all about. It's a pious lifestyle. At the same time, we have to understand that we created civilization, and we were the first Asiatic people to walk the continent. So therefore, we are the oldest people on this land, and we ought to know it, and we ought to also act like it. So in our classroom, we need to incorporate the best that we have to give, and that's a little bit of all of me, giving a little bit of our culture and expounding upon it, making sure we are current, first of all. Most of our children don't get current teaching because most of us teachers do not go back and freshen up on current events when it pertains to African Americans. We either are debating it or quarreling over whether or not it was us or not. Now, I will say this much. In teaching history over the years to 7th and 8th graders, I made it my business to make culture come alive, talking about the ancient lifestyle, not just about when there was an inception of slavery. Children need to know that they had a life and a culture prior to slavery, and that our ancestors didn't come into being at the inception of slavery in the 1800s, but they came into the inception long before Christ ever existed on this earth. And we ought to be able to talk about those subjects and to employ the children to research and find out more about how the pyramids were built, who built the pyramids, and how were they able to move the bricks without a scaffold. And I pose that question to you. If those scaffolds were moved, if there was no scaffold and those bricks were moved, how were those little Twa people able to move those bricks? Were they something called extraterrestrials? Did they invite them down to help them? Or did they have mental telepathy and were able to use psychic ability to carry those bricks with their mental mind? Now, we have some great ancestors who did some great things, and I don't know if you credit yourself for knowing Imhotep, who was the father of the pyramids and the step pyramids. He was the father of medicine. He was an architect. He was well known in all of his affairs. And if you would go back, you could research about Imhotep. They changed his name to Aesculapius, and there's many of our great, great ancestors whose names have been changed and disguised. But we have to hurry over to Africa before they take the walls down with all of the story that's being told in a comedic setting. Now, our people were very, very artistic in writing. They were very artistic in writing, and everything they did, they drew pictures to depict and as well as wrote comedic language. Now, I want you to understand that the Kemetic language belongs to the African American. Don't let anyone tell you that that was a different part of your history and you're not a part of that. You are a part of that. And teachers, I want to draw your attention today. I want to draw your attention because I want you to understand that in the classroom, curriculum must run across all of the disciplines. In everything, the African-American child must be able to see himself. Even in science, he must be able to understand who the scientists were and where he fits into the scheme of things. He must also understand that the first person of medicine was a black woman. He must understand that he also was a part of the staff, and the staff depicting the serpent and in the medicine field comes from an African concept. And there is also another Kemetic emblem that he has to understand that belongs to us, the little for the flowers that are delivered and the delivery man with the little wings on the end of his feet. He came out of Africa. It was created out of Africa so that you would know that he was able to run fast. Now, there's Toph also, and Toph is the father of language. So we were the one that brought language in. Toph was a very, very well-known, articulate person who brought in language. Children need to know that they were speaking language long before they ever learned to crawl. Our children are very articulate, and they have the capability of cooing and smiling when other races of children cannot lift their head. African-American children are very, very diverse and aggressive. They have been able to research under Dr. Ames to find out that African-American children are crawling far in advance the Westerners and are cooing and smiling and turning and lifting their head. And they're even potty trained sooner than most Westerner children. Now, these are studies that were done by Caucasians and not necessarily Africans, but this is our history, and we ought to know about it. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We'll be back at you in the atmosphere. We're going to station identification.
I was stupid, really stupid. Something told me deep inside, better not do it. What a dummy, such a dummy, to let the mess I shouldn't have did take you from me. Girl, if I could take it back, it'd be so bad. I'd be such an angel.
All right, and we're back. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the Carrier Reeve Room, and you're with your Omnika 7. I am your Empress, and I am your Maliwa. And truly, I am your mother. For those of you who are not of the melanin-enriched race, we are the mothers of the world, and we brought in and ushered in civilization. It's high time that we start talking about these truths and stop whispering about them. In the classroom, teachers are afraid to even discuss with African-American children where they stand and where they fit in the scheme of things. So when African-American children get ready to tell the creation story and where they stand and where they fit in, sometimes they're not very sure. When they talk about how we got to America, they talk about us coming on slave ships, and they talk about the Maiafa. Can you say that with me? Maiafa. That is the Middle Passage movement, which allows us to talk about our enslavement. That is not the only history we've had, and we go far beyond that history, and we need to know about it, and so does our children. And it's very important that you take them during the dynasty at a time when we were kings and queens, so that they can see Nefertiti, they can see Hatshepsut, and they can see all of the kings and queens and the royal priestess and how they lived and functioned in duality. That's right. We do believe in duality. Kings were ruling alongside of the queens. If there was a kingship, there was a queenship. We did things in duality. and in understanding that the African woman was just as powerful as the African man. Not to take anything away from the African kings or priests, but to understand we had a very sophisticated civilization and society. At a time when people were crawling around on all fours, we were sitting in houses with window panes and using knives and forks. That is very, very complicated for you to believe now, but there were civilizations who were not utilizing these utensils. However, because we civilized the world, the question came about who gave us reasoning. Now, the Greeks from time to time will say it is Greek reasoning, and the Greeks gave reasoning to the world. But most Africans like to think that most of the Greeks, like Aristotle, Hippocrates, and Homer, and these guys, and they went over into Africa, and they went to the schools that the Africans had. And the Africans were going to school for 40 years at that time to gain 365 degrees of knowledge. Now, Moses only had 33 degrees of knowledge, but some of the Greeks were going to Africa studying up under the Africans. Yes, they were. It is documented that they went into Egypt to study at various different universities and schools of thought. That's why we brought up this whole unit on schools of thought, to let you understand a school of thought can change and you can advance yourself to higher levels of schools of thought. And that's what the Greeks thought they would do. They set up under the tutelage of the African. And the African, as ancient and old as he was, he taught the Greeks reasoning, and he taught the Greeks mathematics and science and physics. He gave the world physics and chemistry. Kemet, out of Kemet over in Africa, that's where chemistry comes from. So no, you are not lacking in academics, in math and science. You created math and science. So why can't you do math and science, young people? Why don't you have a love for it? Because there are doors that open up where you can work in the field of engineering and become an investigator in science. You can go into the laboratories and do research. You can do internships because you have that cosmic record in you. All you need to do is tap into it. Now, we are slumbered and asleep. Some of us may not know any of this because we've been asleep and our consciousness has not been tapped into. But it's very important to tap into your consciousness in your medulla oblongata, in your brainstem, because that's what houses the cosmic record of your memory. Some of you are still anesthetized, and you have been aromatized to the point of staying asleep. But it's necessary for you to wake up, and for you to wake up quickly. Now, African Americans might not know this, but Caucasians do. And they're not going to be angry at you because you repeat this. They're going to be happy that you now have wakened up and you know who you are. Now, the biggest fear is the fear of you becoming conscious and knowing who you are. Now, you can dismiss that fear because the cat is out the hat. African Americans were the first people here on this universe, and we are the mothers and fathers of the universe. And because we are, we must take our proper places, and we must begin to teach and admonish those who are not aware and familiar with where our culture came from. Why don't you call in, ladies and gentlemen, with these last few hours, 646-478-0270, and get in on the discussion. Some of you teachers ought to call in because you need to know that your blackness does not depict how intelligent you are. Your melanin is used for an immune deficiency to protect your body. And there are various different scientists who are bidding for the melanin, and they're now creating their own melatonin tablets, not just to create the hue in you so they can be darker, but it gives you immunity where you have antitoxins to prevent you from becoming ill. There's something very, very unique about African Americans that they don't know, and they have to understand they must relate themselves back to the African. You still have the same floral and intestinal flows of the African, even after 2,000 years. That has not changed, ladies and gentlemen. And if your guts were to be spilled in the streets tomorrow with an accident and an African who just came into this country, guts were spilled alongside yours, they would not be able to tell who the African-American was and who the native African was. You both have the same identical intestinal flora and intestines. Now, you must understand that Lila Africa wrote a great book talking about how different African-Americans are in their makeup based on the melanin that causes us to have different acid-based, alkaline-based bodies. Some medicines will kill us that are not alkaline-based, and if we and took them in and accepted those into our system, ingested them, those certain base acids can kill us, and we have to understand our makeup is different. So in the classroom, you say, Omi, what is different about an African-American child? I spent over 5 years studying African-American children, and this was something that I didn't know initially. I thought I knew about African-American children, but I didn't until I began to study the African-American male and to understand what it meant to be a black male child. And not only just a black male child, but a black child in general, and more specifically, a black child that is male. And in looking at the black child, their whole kinesthetic ability for learning is completely different than any other race of children. They are far more well-developed in their child development nature in developing languages. And this has been documented by many Caucasian professors that their language is far set in place before any other race of children, as well as their ability to crawl, to coo, and to smile. And these are some of the things I found out in my research. So if this is happening and the child is doing so well at the beginning of the toddler and infant stage, what happens to that child upon entering kindergarten? What happens? They stated the child was beginning to regress. As they began to go into the upper grades, they started to regress. Their right-sided brain, where they learn and utilize all of the gifts and their abilities, began to change once the curriculum changed to a more logical left brain side. Now, I say in order to solve that, we must teach our children to be whole brain learners, right and left. Don't get it twisted. Don't let anyone tell you that the African-American child or person only learns from the right side, that they are more emotional and more actively involved. They can be dual sides, right and left, and whole brain learners. And that's what we have to push for, teachers, the whole brain learners in the classroom, so that that child can acquire logical concepts in science and they can be able to make computations and process information when they're collecting data, like the scientific method, when they're giving their hypothesis, collecting the data, making some variable decisions, and doing research. They're able to put together their theses when they do the research. Most of our children are old people, and they're very, very wise. And a lot of the curriculum that we're giving them is outdated, and it actually is retarding the child and slowing the child down. We have to speed up this curriculum, teachers, and African-Americans, you too. I was one of them who didn't know that these children learned so rapidly and they were multitasking. I realized that I had to teach two or three subjects at the same time and not just the one. When you're teaching your math, you teach science alongside math. You teach your literature throughout your curriculum alongside all of your other lessons, and you teach rapidly. And sometimes you might have to speed up things because African-American children will tell you, will you get on with it? Will you just get over it already? I got that. I know that. And they really do because they have been here before. Remember, they've been cycled in through their ancestors, and some of the knowledge and wisdom has been passed on by their ancestors. So stop boring them with the unparticulars and start talking about the more specific things, like who they are and what gifts they have. Start speaking in the past tense and positive about how smart they are. There's been studies done when you suspect and affirm that children can learn and that they can read, and you tell them that and let everyone start off with an A, guess what? Your affirmation begins to become true, because just as a man thinketh, so is he. It's very important that we have got to take down these old worn-out curriculums in the classroom and start talking about culture. Culture, it should be on the lips of all of the teachers. I am a professorette. I teach other teachers how to teach early childhood. I help to endorse them. I sit on the board with the representatives to help endorse those teachers. That is my specialty. As a specialist in working with early intervention, early childhood, I say that every teacher must first understand the foundation of the way a child develops. If you do not know the stages of child development, you cannot begin to know what stage a child is in and how to remediate them. It's very important when you are lecturing that you make your students understand that all children are not alike. Every child must be assessed separately, and curriculums must be created specifically, individually for children, and they should have an individual lesson plan so that that child can get specialized tutoring from you, teacher. We just cannot teach massive classrooms and move these kids around like cattle. We have got to pay some extra attention and give them some TLC, special time. And if you don't have it during the day, then run you an after-school program and bring those children in there and do some extra work with them. Speaking of after-school programs, why not set up a science program and have those boys come in and get them ready for a mission to Mars and show them that science is fun, show them that science is exciting, and show them that science is something that will get them paid. Once they know that money is attached to being a scientist, they'll be glad to be in the arena of science. You must engage them, teachers. You can't just bring in that old, worn-out curriculum that is a white male self-esteem curriculum. We have to overhaul this curriculum for girls, all girls, Caucasian girls, all girls, African-American girls, because girls must be a part of science and engineering. I once worked in engineering as an assistant and a scheduler planner. It was such a delight to work around such creative men that I then realized that this, too, is something that women can do. As I began to plan and schedule for them to do their projects, I saw all the exciting things with the B-1 bomber that they built. So it's a very exciting field where there's a problem in engineering, you do a schematic and design the ways you're going to correct that problem, and you can use this whole template with everything in life. So engineering is wide open to our girls, and women should be engaging young girls to go into science and engineering and math, because those are the areas that is paying for the shortage teachers. You can go back to school to become a science teacher or a math teacher, and also now ELL. They're paying teachers to go back to school to get those endorsements, and they're helping you to find placement in education. So when you come out, you can find employment. There is a TEACH grant that's available for you. Now, back to culture. I want you to understand that when a child feels good about themselves, they can do well in school. And you know how I know it? Dr. Jawaza Kung-Ju-Fu has already written a book about the SED clip and how you could improve the child's academic by improving their self-esteem. He's already substantiated. He wrote the book on it. So if you want to debate him, go and get Dr. Jawaza Kung-Ju-Fu and have him on your show. He's a great lecturer. And I want to say something else to you mothers. You can start early with this culture. You can start making sure that every season for Kwanzaa, your children know all the seven basic principles. You can also take your children to Saturday programs and Saturday schools, and during Juneteenth, explain to them about slavery and what happened when we got our independence. It's very important that you should educate your children. And teachers, you have no business being in these classrooms if you're not up to date on things. If you are too lazy to go back to school, then retire and let someone else take your place, because children need to have fresh new information. They cannot base their education on last year's curriculum and the old outdated mimeograph worksheets that you're giving out. You need hands-on experience for these children, and they need practical experience where they're going to universities and getting that pre-college experience. You know how I know? Because I worked in pre-college for over 5 years, writing curriculum for colleges to bring in students who were still yet in high school, getting them ready so they know that they could do well in the academia careers. So it's very vital that you teach your children about all of our heroes and sheroes that are African Americans, and not just Dr. Martin Luther King. We've got to go beyond the King family and realize that there were many, many more that predated Martin Luther King. And we're not just talking about Jesus. There are some that even predated Jesus. We must tell them about the great ancestors that we had and what they have contributed to society. And we must allow them to research them. And we must allow African-American children to be able to articulate, to speak, and to work in the community so that they can tap into what their ancestors have left behind for them. It's hidden, but we have to uncover the veil. And we can do this, teachers. I know we can do it because I've been doing it for 33 years. I'm retired now, but I'm due to go back into the profession as a consultant. And I consult with other schools about what's best for African-American children. Now, if you don't know what's best for the African-American child, you need to go back to school and refresh your knowledge. I did it. I'm working on a postgraduate degree now, and I'm almost 60 years old. That's right. Sometimes we have to go back at an elderly age, and we have to get it together. Our children can no longer sit in these classrooms, which are not challenging. We have to challenge the children, and we have to bring them fresh, new information about their culture. And we have to talk to them about getting tied into their tribe and getting their DNA done and going back to Africa someday. Don't be afraid. All of Africa is not bad. I was 8 miles away from Africa and regret that I wasn't able to go there. But I will get my chance, and I hope you get your chance. So why don't you travel with me as I get ready to go out of here, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to tell you something. It's been grand talking to you. Up front and close and personal. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow. Giving you the best of me. How amazing, so amazing that you allow me to get up front and personal with you. Just come back tomorrow so we can sit and chat again. I want to get up front with you and let you know what's on the hearts of the people. This is your Omi talking to you, and I'm bringing it to you right from the hip. Ladies and gentlemen, you might not like what I'm talking about, but you will learn to respect me, and you will learn to know that I'm bringing you the cutting-edge information. I'm giving you the best that I got. How amazing, so amazing, up front and personal. Stay tuned. We'll see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for allowing me to be myself again in this Care to Read room. You smile, and I smile, and I say,